Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
If you will turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 26 today. If you are astute, if you take notes, if you were here last week, you might be like, oh Lord, she got confused and she opened up her notes from last week. That's exactly where we started last week. It is where we started last week. We're going to look at the same passage and we're going to see if God doesn't say something different to us today. Luke 1, starting in verse 26, says, in the sixth month that it's referring to is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. If you read the portion of the chapter just before this, you hear the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth receiving their miracle child, who we would later know to be John the Baptist. The paragraph before this says Elizabeth was in her fifth month, and then it says, and in her sixth month. The stories of Mary and the stories of Elizabeth are deeply connected and intricately woven together. And I think Luke in particular gives us the picture of how it is that their stories become intertwined when he opens up the part about Mary by saying it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, greetings, O favored one. Say, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Say, found favor. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And so Mary said to the angel, and how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child will be born called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said to the angel, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to me to your word. And the angel departed from her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and active. I thank you that it has the power to speak to us today, that there are truths in it to form us, to change us, to make us more like you. I thank you for the word that you've spoken to me, and I ask you for it to come forth with clarity, with your anointing on it, in a way that changes us and that brings you glory. In your mighty name, Jesus, amen. Where are all of my gift purchasers at? Like, you are the people who are making the purchases for the gifts for Christmas that will be wrapped, that will be given, that will be only two of you. Oh my goodness. No wonder the economy is just, who is buying gifts this year? There you are. Come on. All right. Now I need to do an immediate poll. I need to know how many of you have already finished. You have your gifts done. They are ready. They are locked and loaded. Oh, you wonderful, amazing, prolific people who are just running the world. How many of you are like, I have not even begun yet, but don't worry. I'm going to be getting some gifts. Look at you. Yes, you're hustling. You're stressed. Your cortisol levels are so high. It's crazy. Gift giving is an amazing part of the season because there are gifts that God has given to us. And in turn, to celebrate Him, we turn and we give gifts to somebody else. Now, don't raise your hands on this one, but who knows somebody in their family or in your friend group, your gift giving circle, that is a notorious gift returner? Like they, you know, it's like you almost don't even try anymore because you know whatever you give that person, they're taking it back and they're exchanging it for something else. Like they open their gift and they're opening it and everybody's watching and they're going, oh yeah, this is so nice. And you're like, the receipt's underneath the sweater. It's in the box. And they're like, oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for knowing that I'm going to be returning. There are some people who you just know instantly, let me not even try, because you are going to return absolutely anything it is that I get for you. Have you ever got a gift that you wanted to return? That you were like, this is not what I was. So I got a gift one time that I wanted to return, but could not return. Have you ever got a gift that you wanted to return, but could not return? Let me tell you what happened. Phil Ryburn is not here today. He is bringing back people who have been working so diligently. So I'm going to tell a story in his absence. A couple of years ago. Now, if you're new, let me just lay out a little bit of our family for you. I'm married to a man named Phil. He is amazing. He is a man of God with a heart for truth and for justice. And he is so good looking as well. A couple of years ago, we have three kids together. We also have one dog. He gets me for a gift in a household that already has three young boys and one dog, a second dog as a surprise gift that I did not see coming. Now, here's the kicker around this wonderful little joyous gift. The kicker around this wonderful, lovely, joyous gift is he has gotten the boys involved in it. And they are thrilled. They think this is the best thing that has ever happened in life. So they come bring me this dog in a little box. Close your eyes, Mom. Open up this dog. And I'm like, what on earth makes you think that what we need in this house is another mouth to feed and thing to clean up after? And I look up and there are three doe-eyed, smiley, happy as you could ever imagine little boys in your life. Like, Mom, we got you a puppy. And I'm like, there is no way on earth we're returning this gift right here. So today, I'm glad to report to you that we have three children and two dogs in the Ryburn household. Sometimes you get gifts that even though you want to return them, you cannot return them. The angel comes to Mary. He begins his greeting to her and he says, O favored one of God, you have been highly favored. You have been highly favored among all the others, among all the others who are around you. Mary, you, it is an amazing thing to receive the favor of God. God's special gaze has looked upon Mary. God's special empowerment has looked at Mary. God's special calling has gone down and has chosen Mary. There's something about knowing that you have God's favor that causes you to stand a little bit straighter. It causes your gaze to look a little bit straighter. It causes something on the inside of you to walk with a little bit more certainty. certainty, the angel Gabriel comes and he calls her and he says, Mary, you are favored of God. There are those throughout scripture who have been called those who are favored by God. Noah was favored by God because his heart was pure in the midst of the chaos around him, and God's special favor came and found him. Abraham was favored by God. Abraham had a faith that was able to run and hunger after God and stay consistent and faithful in a way that he became the father of many nations, that he became the father of faith. This Abraham that we know, Moses was favored by God. He got to look at God and gaze upon his glory and his beauty in a way that no one else. He got to speak with God, and God called him and empowered him for the work that had been given to him. David was favored by God. Scripture says that David had a heart that was after God, had a heart that was like God. It says that God looked at David and there was something in him that he just thought, that's my guy. David had God's favor. He made a promise with him, a covenant with him, that for generations he wouldn't knock away the throne that he sat in because of the favor that was on David's life. The favor that's on your life can have multi-generational implications. It's something to have the favor of God. Esther knew the favor of God, the favor of God that would call her and choose her and place her in a position where she could go and speak to authority, and where others had been sent away and where others would be sat down and where others' lives would be in danger. Yet Esther went and stood before greatness and found favor in the kings of earth because she had favor with God in heaven, just like Daniel, who also had favor with God. Daniel had favor with God in such a way that it caused him to stand out from his peers. It caused him to stand out from those around him. There is something about the favor of God. When God finds you and you stand in God's favor, it gives you an empowerment to do the thing that he's called you to. When you stand in God's favor, it gives you a special anointing to walk out the path and the plan that he has called you to. When you stand in God's favor, it seems like things that I thought would be hard aren't quite so hard. When I have God's favor on my life, the thing that I thought would be impossible, it turns out it's not impossible because I have God's favor. Oh, favored one, God has looked at you. Oh, favored one, God has come to find you. Oh, favored one, God has seen you. Oh, favored one, God has sent his messenger towards you. There's something about knowing that I have the favor of God on my life. And the angel comes to Mary and he calls her, oh, favored one. Now, I don't know if it's because Mary knew the scripture so well, or I don't know if it's because Mary just had good intuition. I don't know what it was about Mary, but there was something about the way that she responded, because when it says that the angel came to her and said, oh, favored one, Mary doesn't throw a party. Mary doesn't run out to tell everybody. Mary doesn't jump up immediately with rejoicing. It says Mary was troubled. The angel says to her, oh, favored one. And it says Mary was troubled. It seems to me that Mary understood that there's something about favor and something about trouble that tend to walk hand in hand together. There's something about Mary and that understands that just because you are favored does not mean that your life is about to be without trouble. In fact, it is the favor of God that often indicates to us that trouble might be coming our direction. Joseph realizes he is favored by God. He has two dreams about the way that God is going to use his life and promote his life. And he sees that there is something on him that causes him to stand up and stand out, and that God has a purpose for him. And the next thing we see is Joseph's brothers have gathered around him and turned on him and thrown him in a pit and sold him into slavery. There's something about favor and trouble that walk hand in hand together. This is trouble for Mary. Mary has just been told by an angel that she will conceive a child. She is not yet married. She is in a tight-knit community. This is completely socially unacceptable. This has all kinds of pressures that she was not expecting to be coming her way immediately. The angel announces to her, Mary, you are favored of God. And the next thing he tells her is about some trouble. This is trouble for Mary. She has an engagement to be married that is now in jeopardy because she has to explain to Joseph that she has found herself pregnant. And nobody in their right mind is buying her story about an angel and the Holy Spirit, because it's a mystery that she doesn't understand herself. She just knows the conversation that she has, and she knows that she's favored by God. Mary is in trouble now. Mary has a story about a baby that everyone in her community now hears and now understands. And now there are whispers. Mary has found herself in the kind of trouble that will follow her for all of her life. We look at Mary as, oh, favored by God. You were chosen. You were called. Mary walked and lived her life with the shadow of a whisper walking around her. You know how I know it? In John 8, Jesus is talking to some of the Pharisees, and they say to him, well, we were not born out of sexual immorality. It's a dig, and it's a dash at the history, at the stories, at the whispers that are told about Jesus' life. Jesus is 30-some years later down the line. Mary is 30-some years later down the line, and there's still whispers of the trouble of how Jesus came into this world. She's favored by God, but there's some trouble that keeps following her. Mary has to go to another town while she's 9 months pregnant. This is trouble. Mary finds herself without a room while the contractions start to get more and more frequent. This is trouble. Mary finds that they are coming after all of the young boys because they're trying to find her son, and they have to flee to another country. This is trouble. God, I thought that you said that I was favored. God, I thought that you said that you chose me. God, I thought that you said that there was purpose. God, I thought that you said that you would be with me. But this just looks like trouble all around me. This just looks like it keeps getting worse. This just looks like it won't quite give up. This just looks like I can't get away from it. No matter where I turn and no matter where I go and no matter what I do, God, it just seems like there is more and more trouble to be found around me. Have you ever felt like there's trouble on every side? You ever felt like, God, I thought I heard your voice, but I keep finding myself in trouble. I keep finding myself with an adversary. God, I thought that I heard you call me. I thought that you said that I was favored. I thought that you said that you had something you were going to do in my life. But everywhere I look, people keep talking about me, and it just feels like trouble. Every time I go and I sit down at a family dinner, God, it feels like I don't fit here, and that I'm not part of this anymore, God. It feels like it's making trouble in my life, God. God, everywhere I go, it feels like trouble is pushing in around me. There's something about favor that requires trouble. See, I tend to think what I want from favor is to mean that I have an easy life now. I tend to think what I want from favor is that everything will go well with me from here on out. I tend to think what I want from favor is smooth sailing and easy seas from this point forward. God, you said I was favored. And I find verses for it. Like he will make your path straight. And he will. But there is also that time when those Hebrew boys found favor with God that put them in a fiery furnace. There's trouble right there with favor. There's also that time when David found favor with God and his mentor turned on him. There's trouble right there with favor. There's also that way that Noah found favor with God and became a mockery because God told him to build a boat. There's trouble right there with favor. Favor and trouble have a way of walking hand in hand together. Because there are things that trouble forms in us that would never be produced unless I walked through the struggle, unless I walked through the trouble. There's something about who God needs me to be that can only come to the surface when I walk through some trouble. There's something about the way that God is working me that can only be manifest if I have what it takes to walk through some trouble. There's something about the way that he wants my life to be put out in front that can only be seen when I walk through a little bit of trouble. Can I tell you, if you know that God's favor rests on your life, but you've been questioning if his favor has left you, if his favor has forgotten you, if his favor has abandoned you because you've been walking through some trouble, the trouble is not the evidence of the lifting of his favor. The trouble is the evidence that his favor is about to be visible at a whole new level in your life. You have to go through some trouble to make the favor be seen. You have to go through some trouble to understand that there's something in you that's not in everybody else. You have to go through some trouble for something to come to the surface. How do I have a testimony unless I ever walked through something that I thought was gonna break me? How do I ever have a story to tell unless I walked through something that I felt like brought me all the way to the edge where I didn't know if I was gonna make it? How can I tell you how God brought me through if I've never walked through? There's something about trouble and favor that walk hand in hand together. See, trouble separates. Trouble separates those who are willing to push through from those who are going to sit down. Trouble has a way of dividing the wheat and the chaff. Trouble has a way of separating those with that thing in them. That thing that says that God called me to this. That thing that says I'm going to stand here. That thing that says I've decided to make it all the way through to the other side. That thing that resilience that comes up on the inside of someone. Trouble has a way separating them. There's a story in the Old Testament that would be familiar to many of you about a man named Gideon who God calls and favors. And then he sends men to him to be his army. And there's so many of them. Gideon's like, this is going to work out. And then God says, go tell them, whoever's afraid, go home. And Gideon does it, and a ton of them go home. And Gideon's like, this is trouble. And then God gives him another thing about going down to the river and says, when one drinks like this and when one drinks like that, tell everybody that drink like this to go home. And a bunch of them go home. And Gideon's like, this is trouble. And God's like, yeah, but I need to separate for you who's going to make it to the other side and who has going home on the inside of them. When trouble comes your way, it's the opportunity to decide, do I have what it takes to push through to the other side of this trouble? When trouble comes your way, it's your opportunity to say, but I'm not gonna go home just because the getting got tough. That's why the Bible tells us to be slow in promoting leaders. Because leaders don't get to turn around when trouble comes. I've made the mistake in my life of putting people in positions because I thought they had the resume for something, and I thought they had the skill set for something, and I thought they had the temperament for something. But it turned out that when trouble came, they knew how to talk the talk. And they knew how to do the things. And they knew how to be part of the way that everything worked. But when trouble came, they didn't have that thing that said, I'm going to take it to the other side. Trouble has a way of separating. And Mary had something in her that said, this is going to be trouble. I feel favor and trouble at the same time. Yet she said, let it be unto me as you have said. There's something about trouble that separates. Trouble is an invitation for us to be formed in the likeness of God. Trouble is an invitation to us to begin to look inward and say, God, what are you doing inside of me in this moment and in this season? Trouble has a way of pushing on you in such a way that it causes things to come to the surface that I never knew were there before. Trouble has a way of calling out in me my responses that don't look anything like Jesus. Trouble has a way of requiring me to lean on and depend on him in a way that I didn't know that I needed to lean on and to depend on him. David is a man who was favored by God and plagued by trouble. When you read the life of David, there is trouble after trouble, after trouble on every side. When David was writing his Psalms one time, in Psalms 139, he said this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there are any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Trouble has a way of forming us. It's an invitation for us to, like David, say, God, search me. I find myself in the midst of trouble. God, search me and find in me anything that needs to stay in this place. Search me, O God, and find in me anything that doesn't reflect who you are. Search me, O God. If you find yourself in trouble, search me, O God, and tell me how to tame my tongue through the power of your Holy Spirit. Search me, O God, and teach me a new depth of faith that knows how to hold on in the midst of it. Search me, O God, and heal that wound that keeps open and it keeps bleeding on everything around me. God, I need you to search me in a new way, and I need you to search me in a fresh way. God, I can't. This trouble feels like it's pressing in all around me, and it's making me angry in a way, in an anger that I didn't know. It feels like my soul is rattling on the inside. God, I need you to search me in the midst of this trouble. You're going to have his favor. You have to be willing to be searched by God and say anything in me that's not of you. Because trouble is an opportunity for his glory to be known. Trouble is the place where his glory begins to show up. Trouble is the place where we begin to see the manifestation of his power. Trouble is the way and is the place where the favor that he's called on you becomes visible to those around you. It's the trouble that creates the environment for his glory to be seen. It's the trouble that creates the space for his glory to be known. It's the trouble that creates the place where his name would be lifted high. It's the trouble that creates the way that all men might look unto him and say, Mary, how did you keep going when they talked about you anyway? It was his presence and it was his glory. Mary, how did you make it when you had to escape to Egypt? I don't know, but it was for his glory. It was that his name might be known. How did you make it to the other side when trouble was all around you? I wasn't sure I could make it. The trouble felt like it was heavier than what I could carry. The trouble felt like it was more than my mind could ever do. I thought I was absolutely at the edge, and I thought I was getting ready to break, and I thought that nothing was gonna make it. I thought my family was gonna fall apart. I thought that addiction was gonna rip us to the end. I thought my baby wasn't gonna come out on the other side. The trouble was pushing in on me in such a way that I wasn't sure. But then we made it to the other side. Then he opened a sea in front of me and my feet stepped out on dry ground, and I walked through. And when I walked through, it was so good on the other side. I had to grab a tambourine and I had to sing a song, and I had to tell you that great is his name, and holy is his name, and awesome is his name, and worthy is his name. And it wasn't about me, and it wasn't about my ambition, and it wasn't about the thing I thought I needed, and it wasn't about me getting to the other side. It was always about his glory. It was always about his glory. It was always about his glory getting from heaven to earth. Mary said, this is going to be trouble, but let it be unto me. Not so my name will be great. People are going to talk bad about me for this. Not because it's going to be easy, God. Because there's glory in heaven that needs to be known on earth. And his glory has to come. You're favored, and it's trouble, because he's trying to separate those who are going to push through from those who are going to sit down. You're favored, and it's trouble, because he wants to form something on the inside of you. You're favored, and it's trouble, because his glory is trying to break through. Because his glory is becoming manifest. God who was in heaven became God who is on earth. The glory of God came and dwelled among us. Because Mary was favored and troubled at the same time. What is God trying to bring into earth through your life? You're favored and it's trouble. You're favored and yet trouble is right there with you. Trouble doesn't mean you misheard the favor. Trouble means the glory is trying to break through. It means there's something that God wants to do through your life. We still have that dog. And it turns out, I wouldn't give her back if I could now. I joke about it. And feels offered when I complain about her. You want me to take her back? And I'm like, nah, don't take her back. She's kind of grown on me now. She's kind of part of our house now. When he's not there, I let her get up on the bed. Don't tell him, he doesn't like it. She's not supposed to be on the bed. She's pretty cute. She's kind of become part of us now. The thing about trouble is when you get to the other side of it and you see the way it separated some things from your life and some people from your life. When you get to the other side of it and you realize the way that it formed you and it made you, the way that it buffed out the rough edges of your life and the way that it made you softer towards people who are going through trouble, the way that it broke your heart for the things that break God's heart, and you see the way that His glory was made known in your life through you, that His glory moved through you. You look back at the trouble and you go, I wouldn't trade it now if I could. If I had to go back and do it again, knowing what I know now, I'd still go through the trouble. Because I had to get through the trouble to see His glory. And I wouldn't trade anything for His glory. I wouldn't trade anything for His glory, for the presence, for the weightiness, for the power. See, going through trouble begs the question, do you want God for His gifts or do you want Him for His presence? Going through trouble makes you find out, am I just here because you can give me good things? Or am I here because I need your glory, God? And I've gone through some trouble and I've made it to the other side. And when I've come to the other side, I've gone, I don't know that I want to have to do it again, but if I had to go back, I wouldn't trade my trouble for what it produced in my life. It's kind of become a part of me. It's part of my story now. It's part of what formed me. It's part of what made me. My trouble produced His glory. And if you find yourself in the midst of trouble today, you find yourself towards the end of the year going, why is this trouble still here? Why is this weightiness still heavy on me? Why am I still carrying it? It feels like everything is still pressing in. I want you to hear today that it's not because His favor has left you. It's because His glory is trying to break through. If that's you and you know that you've been pressed in on by trouble, you feel in the midst of trouble, you know His favor is on you, but you feel the trouble pressing in on every side, I just want you to raise your hands and stand right where you are. I want to pray for you today. Stand up, stand up, stand up. I'm going to pray. I wish I could pray that the trouble would be lifted. But instead, I'm going to pray over you a Holy Spirit empowerment that you will make it to the other side. That you will make it to the other side. Because His favor and His trouble, they tend to go partner together. My alternate title, the title to today's message is The Gift of Trouble. My alternate title was When God Causes Trouble. Because sometimes God just walks you into trouble. He doesn't cause affliction in your life. Sometimes His favor walks you into trouble. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people who have stood today. I thank you for your favor that rests on their life. I thank you that we see them and that heaven sees them. We acknowledge that they stand, God, carrying something heavy today. And we speak over them that your power would be known in their life, that your glory would be shown in their life, that you would manifest something through their life. I declare over you that you don't have quitting on the inside of you. I declare over you that it's too far in for you to turn back from this thing. I declare over you that you're not intimidated by trouble because you see it for what it is, that you see that God is forming something in your life, that you see that God is making something of your life. Holy Spirit, blow fresh on their life today. Holy Spirit, empower them in new ways today. Holy Spirit, give them eyes to see the power of what you're doing. You're not walking alone. You have a family of believers that's gathering around you, God. Let them feel the power of your church encircling them. You're not walking alone. You have a Holy Spirit to fill you and walk with you every step of the way, God. You never promised us that there would be no trouble, but you promised us that you would never leave us or forsake us. God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. He has placed you in this place on purpose, and he is going to see you all the way to the other side of this, and you're going to come out smelling something fresh, and you're going to come out formed in new ways, and you're going to come out as a demonstration of his power, and you're going to come out looking more like him, and you're going to come out with a fresh way to walk and a fresh way to talk and with fresh miracles on your head, and you're going to bring him glory, and you're going to bring him glory, and you're going to bring him glory in your life, God. We thank you for what